Picture a German general waking up to find his colleague has vanished from an island crawling with 100,000 Nazi troops. No gunfire, no explosions, just an abandoned sedan, some chocolate wrappers, and a polite note from British commandos. This wasn't a Hollywood fantasy. It actually happened in 1944 on the island of Crete, pulled off by a ragtag crew of poets, professors, and local shepherds who had no business being warriors. Yet they accomplished what seemed impossible, revealing something startling. Heroism isn't a genetic lottery. It's a skill set, and one that modern civilization has almost completely forgotten. The kidnapping of General Heinrich Kreip wasn't just a brilliant military operation. It was a masterclass in human potential, demonstrating capabilities that our ancestors took for granted, but that seem superhuman today. The shepherds who could run 50 miles through mountain darkness on starvation rations weren't genetic freaks. They simply hadn't forgotten how to move, eat, and think the way humans evolved to function. This story opens a door to a lost world of natural capability, where the extraordinary was simply ordinary. Crete earned its nickname, the Island of Heroes, through centuries of resistance. When Hitler launched Operation Mercury in May 1941, history's largest airborne assault, he expected swift victory. Instead, the island's thousand-year tradition produced extraordinary fighters. Shepherd George Psychodonkis could cover 50-plus miles through treacherous terrain in darkness on minimal food. Another shepherd, Kosti Patarakis, saved an entire village with a quarter-mile rifle shot. These weren't anomalies, but examples of a culture where adulthood meant becoming a dromis, a runner strong enough to race to another's aid. Churchill made a counterintuitive gamble, recruit poets, professors, and archaeologists as phantom fighters. He understood heroism wasn't about brute force, it was about cunning, endurance, and adaptability. His special operations executive sought intellectual misfits with gentle voices. For training, he recruited Shanghai underworld experts Bill Sykes and William Fairburn, two nearly 60-year-old men who taught recruits 36 ways to knock someone unconscious and transform office supplies into weapons. We were to be gangsters, but with the behavior, if possible, of gentlemen. This reflected ancient Greek wisdom. Heroism isn't mysterious virtue, but learnable skill. When French naval officer Georges Hébert rescued survivors from Mount Pelée's 1902 eruption that killed 29,000 people, he noticed something disturbing. Many died not from the volcano, but because their bodies failed them when they needed to run, climb, or swim. Hébert developed méthode naturelle, natural method, based on how children naturally play. His credo, être fort pour être utile, be fit to be useful. He organized movement into three categories, pursuit, walk, run, crawl, escape, climb, balance, jump, swim, and attack, throw, lift, fight. This approach dominated until the late 1970s, when Arnold Schwarzenegger's pumping iron and Nautilus machines transformed fitness. We traded functional capability for mirror-worthy appearance. The human body's greatest weapon isn't strength or speed, it's fascia, the elastic connective tissue forming a crisscross network throughout your body. Thomas Myers revealed that fascia creates continuous spirals from feet to forehead, functioning like a compound bow that stores and releases elastic energy. This wobble power made Sonny Liston's rhythmic footwork devastating and allowed Bruce Lee to send a 250-pound man flying with minimal movement. Dr. Schleip's ultrasound research revealed fascia contains possibly more nerve endings than our tongues and eyes. Fascia reacts and remembers. Every movement becomes habit, then posture, then structure. All the strength, speed, and suppleness you need, you already have. You just need to release it. How did Cretan resistance fighters thrive on minimal food while maintaining remarkable energy? For over 2 million years, our ancestors followed herds, not harvests, prizing fatty meats, eggs, and cheeses for sustained energy. Only recently did we switch to farm-raised grains, resulting in decreased human height and increased obesity. America's obesity epidemic began in the 1980s after the government vilified meat and pushed grains, the same grains traditionally used to fatten cattle. Dr. Tim Noakes, once the high priest of carbo loading, discovered his own advice had been harmful. Despite 41 years of running, exercise alone had never controlled his weight. With diabetes having killed both his father and brother, Noakes investigated nutrition science and realized he'd been promoting toxic processed carbs. Phil Maffetone's fat-burning method offered a solution: eliminate sugar and lower heart rate during exercise. With 87% of our energy reserves stored as fat, 140,000 calories versus just 2,000 from carbs, the body could access virtually unlimited fuel if properly trained. Crete featured prominently in Ansel Keys' seven-country study, showing the lowest heart disease rates despite high fat consumption. Their secret was what they ate: meat, butter, fish, olive oil, wild greens, walnuts, and what they didn't: sugar and starch. Unlike other regions that shifted to grain production after World War II, Crete's isolated mountain villages maintained their traditional diet, the same high-performance food as their Olympic athlete ancestors from ancient Greece. When Patty Lee Fermor stepped into the headlights, shouting "Halt!" at General Cripe's car, he launched one of World War II's most audacious operations. After jamming his pistol into the general's chest while Billy knocked out the chauffeur, they brazenly drove through German checkpoints with Patty wearing the general's hat, sentries saluting the flags. They abandoned the vehicle on a beach with British items scattered around and a letter stating no Cretans were involved, hoping to prevent reprisals. Rather than fleeing, Patty made a counterintuitive decision: hide near a German stronghold on an exposed beach. They eventually split up, with Billy and the Wild Boys serving as decoys, while Patty and Manoli took Cripe through treacherous mountains. At the extraction point, they nearly missed their rescue boat because neither Patty nor Billy knew Morse code. Fortunately, Dennis Ciclatera arrived just in time. The Germans enacted brutal revenge on Anogia, executing over 100 people and burning the 900-year-old town to rubble. Ironically, the now homeless Enogians fought with renewed determination. For Patty, the aftermath was complicated. He fell mysteriously ill with spreading paralysis and spent 3 months in hospital. For decades, he struggled to write about his adventures. How could he portray himself as a hero after witnessing true heroism, and its cost, on Crete? Only at age 60 did healing come when George Sikundakis arranged reconciliation with Yorgo Tsangarakis, whose uncle had died by Patty's gun, and Yorgo asked Patty to be godfather to his daughter. When asked if he would risk his family again, 91-year-old resistance fighter Yorgos Patakos explained the Cretan ethic. When you live in a place like this, small by itself, you're brought up to give help, not wait for it. In small communities, neighbors depend directly on each other, not distant authorities. This ethic, combined with natural physical capabilities, created resistance so effective it tied down tens of thousands of German troops. When British soldier Jack Smith Hughes escaped capture, Cretan villagers hid him and taught him their ways. He marveled at how even 50-year-old Cretans moved with effortless elasticity through mountains that exhausted trained soldiers. The profound truth revealed on Crete is that heroes aren't born. They're made through mastery of natural skills all humans possess, but most have forgotten. The ancient Greeks understood heroism as learnable technique, not mysterious virtue. They developed systematic approaches through natural movement, metabolic efficiency, and mental resilience. This knowledge thrived for centuries before fading with the Greek Empire, surviving only in isolated pockets like Crete's mountains. Natural running, parkour, and metabolic training rediscover ancient wisdom. Our bodies are designed for remarkable endurance, strength, and agility. As Erwan Lacour observed, the best secret of all, your body always has another trick up its sleeve. You don't need a gym membership or genetic gifts. You need to remember what you already are, a natural-born hero whose capabilities lie buried under modern convenience. The Cretans never traded functional capability for mirror-worthy appearance, which is why their feats seem superhuman to us, but were simply normal to them. Our elastic tissue evolved into humanity's deadliest weapon, the ability to throw with accuracy and power. This uniquely human skill required structural adaptations that led to bigger brains, sequential thinking, and imagination, the foundation of all achievement. The question isn't whether you have heroic potential, it's whether you're willing to reclaim it. Start moving naturally, fuel your body properly, help your neighbors. The Cretan shepherds who ran 50 miles through mountain darkness simply hadn't forgotten how to move, eat, and think as humans evolved to function. Every movement becomes habit, then posture, then structure. Your fascia remembers everything.